Aloha, welcome to another Swolog. Today is June 15th, 2016, and today I'm interviewing Mark Cohen. And Mark is a respected composer, pianist, and internal martial arts teacher with a seventh generation lineage in Chinese medicine. As a lineage holder in the internal martial arts and Chinese medicine, Mark has a rare perspective. He has masters these disciplines over the course of his life and is now writing and teaching as well as composing multi-instrumental jazz, Mark's embodiment of many forms of the internal martial arts, allow him to offer a clear presentation of the internal work normally passed by lineage from generation to generation within a family. His recent book, Inside Zhang Zhuang, or The Art of Standing Qigong Meditation, has been welcomed by the worldwide community of practitioners. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Michelle.
So, in the spirit of stress busting, which is why I do these spologs, I was very interested in interviewing you because of your rich background. Sometimes in the past, we've just touched upon, you know, music as being a way of de-stressing, and of course, the healing effects of martial arts. And again, just to remind the listeners as to why I went from acupuncture to hypnosis myself, was because I found that most of the reasons why people had physical ailments that they were seeking me for were because of their stressful thinking patterns that manifested into a physical problem. And so I was just wondering, I'm just gonna open the floor and see what you have to say about.
Well, stress is an interesting topic because in this day and age, pretty much every human being on the planet is experiencing it in some form or another. And when we go about trying to relieve stress, we must really find the source of the stress first. And sometimes this is very obvious. Some external circumstances are pressurizing people. But then we have to look at the components of what make up stress and create that in the body. So we look at physical circumstances, the emotional reaction to them, and then the mental reaction and thought patterns. But then we have to go beyond that, because we are not our emotions or solely our emotions or solely our mind, but the essential part of ourselves, whatever you want to call it, that part of ourselves. Sometimes the experience would be people are driving on the highway, especially on the mainland, and, you know, for a moment they're thinking about something and they realize they haven't been watching the road. Well, something's been watching the road and they're okay and they keep going. This is the part of us which is not controlled by the mind or the emotions or the physical body for that matter. And so it's this part of us that we want to get to. Now, getting to it is not necessarily so easy because we have these blocks. The blocks are the emotion, and the blocks are, as Michelle has said, the certain thought patterns, which become loops and create a downward spiral. So the first thing we must look at is the emotional blocks and how to get rid of them, because these are sometimes very rough, and these emotions often trigger thoughts, or it can work the other way around, and often does. If a person is more emotional, the emotions will trigger thoughts. If a person is more in their mind, the thought pattern loops will trigger emotions. Okay? Neither of which we want to have in control of us. And the us part of it is this part of us which is not controlled by the mind or the emotions or the body. So there are several ways to go about this, but one of the most important things to start with is simply to examine one's breath under these circumstances. And we will find that this breath has changed from our normal relaxed in and out breathing to something different. Oftentimes there's holding of the breath, unconsciously, of course. And other times there's hyperventilation, if people get a panic attack, or this or that. So we must begin with the breath. And the breath has an amazing link with both the emotions and especially with the mind. If we regulate our breath, meaning we breathe in and out the same amount, breathing in for 5 seconds, breathing out for 5 seconds, or it could be 3 seconds in and out, or 10 seconds, whatever the person's natural comfortable amount is. This evenness begins to create a frequency in the body, which gets to the brain and begins to assuage emotion and also begin to relax the thought patterns. Because oftentimes these thought patterns, especially as we get going with stress, can become very hurried. One thing upon another, and there's no place to get a breath, literally. So, if we breathe in for 5 seconds and breathe out for 5 seconds, and we keep repeating that. And one thing that's done in the traditional way at the very beginning is you count your breaths. You imagine a little chalkboard or something up in the right-hand corner of your inner vision, and in and out, one breath, boom. You know, 5 breaths, put the cross line over and keep going. You'll find that, and I know this from personal experience and from other people's experiences, clients, students, patients of this, that if you pursue this and you spend a few minutes with it, it will begin to change things inside the body. How you feel, how the body feels, and the thought patterns. The thought patterns may not necessarily go away. And in a certain sense, you're not really looking for them to go away, because the harder you fight these patterns to try to push them out, the more they want to push themselves back in. So instead, we do something else. It's like we do like Gandhi. I saw the movie the other day again for a long, first time in a long time. And we do not want to fight it, but we do not want to give it any agreement or assent as well. So this is taking the middle way. And what happens through this breath, and this breath can be done through internal exercise, just sitting, laying down on the couch, or sitting on the couch and laying on the bed or whatever and breathing, you come to a point where you notice that the thoughts, as if the thoughts physically, and now when I'm putting my hands close to my face to show that the thoughts are all around us and they're kind of pressing in, that the thoughts have moved outward a foot or two, you might say, away from the body. And they're still going around, but they're not quite on top of you as they were before. As you continue this process, you begin to realize that you could change your attention. And where you put your attention is what you're going to get. So in the internal arts, oftentimes they put their attention in the navel area, in the center point of the body, the physical balance point of the body, equidistance between the top and the bottom and the sides in the dead center of the body. Or they can sometimes put it attention up at the forehead, between the eyebrow, behind a bone there. Or some can put it, eventually you can feel deeper into the brain and put it into the secret spot in the brain, which is not really a secret, but it is that the point of the intersection of the ears going this way and the eyes going that way, and we have a center point in there. And actually that's when in Tai Chi they say that everything is suspended from above, and people normally think they want to pull your hair and your scalp and from the Bai Wei point, but the actual suspension occurs inside the brain. Uh-huh. In this other place.
And that intersection that you just talked about, the horizontal and the vertical line.
Right, that make a point inside the brain, halfway between front and back, you might say. Halfway between the eyes and the base of the skull, halfway between the two ears, and where those two lines intersect.
And when you pointed at your ears, you pointed right where you can put your index fingers at the top part of the inside of your ear, right above the canals where you're pointing.
Yeah, it can be in that general region there. Okay. It can be in front. It can be in the center. Okay. But that's the idea of it there. You'll get a sensation, and all these things that we do, for many years, people would only read about them in books, and these things were not taught. Because they really have to be taught one-on-one, because each person's experience of it is somewhat different or quite a bit different. But as you get relaxed in these points, you're going to find that your attention goes there. And we have what we call in the standing meditation, one's feeling awareness, the ability to feel and be aware at the same time inside the body. And we begin to shift our attention away from the thought part of that into pure feeling, okay? And when you have a pure feeling, well, the thoughts are very much on the peripheral of your consciousness. And when the thoughts are on a peripheral of the consciousness, they're not pushing in at you. And you're able to get in what some have termed your spiritual center or your center. And you want to be acting from that point. And once you get there, then whatever has stressed you out, you can look at it most objectively from a point of view like outside yourself, you might say, but also taking into account all your own personal experience. And then you have the ability to deal with the stress. And a lot of it, it's like you come up with a plan. Let's say you have a stress and you get clear and relaxed and get those thoughts and feelings on the peripheral of yourself, and you're just feeling inside yourself.
And what are you feeling? That's what I want to know. What are you feeling inside
this
yourself?
This has many, many different ways of feeling. If we're talking about the lower abdomen area, the dantian, they call this field or sea of elixir, the lower field of elixir, this is where you will feel first a warmth, and then that warmth will eventually flood through your body. This is normally done through doing standing meditation, Zhang Zhuang, and also Tai Chi, okay? And also other forms of Qi Gong, okay? But it can be done, and there's something people don't know. There's, you know, beside the standing Qi Gong, there's sitting Qi Gong, and there's laying down Qi Gong, called Shui Gong. And you can lay on the bed, and you usually lay on your side, and you put your one leg over a little bit, and you cover the back area, and then you can do that. The hardest part about doing laying down exercise is you fall asleep,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because what happens, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to affect, is this, in a certain sense, in the physical sense, is the nervous system. Because it's this nervous system, these impulses to the brain that are going on in nanoseconds all the time that begin to create this feeling of stress inside the body. This is the inside the body part of it. We talked about the body, the emotional part, and the mental part. Okay. And then we really need to talk about the other part of the mental part, which is a subconscious or unconscious part, which is what you deal with in your work. Because sometimes these patterns are very buried. But one thing I can say, for those that practice this form of exercise, standing exercise, over time, usually it takes several years, it's not a fast process, but it's a process that's lasting for your whole life. Once you accomplish something, it stays. And you are able to neutralize these feelings. And physically, by generating energy in one of the three elixir fields, the lower field by the navel area, the middle field in the lower chest, and then the upper field between the eyebrows behind the bone, you are actually creating electromagnetic impulses. And these electromagnetic impulses have effect on the body because, as science has found out, the brain is in cellular communication through these micro mini voltages 24/7. All the systems of the body, okay? And actually, in a way, that's how acupuncture works in a certain way. You make a contact with the nerve energy, which sends an impulse to the brain, and the brain reacts to that and sends back the correct response, okay? And the person feels better, or the pain goes away, or they feel more relaxed. Okay. Now, there are certain treatment that can be done. One treatment that's worth mentioning is called a Seven Internal Dragons treatment. Okay, this is from the Five Element School. There's a two basic school in Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, and the Five Element School, although the original traditional Chinese medicine included the Five Element system as well. Okay, and the idea here is that you can create an energy that's going to go through and literally scour and kind of drive out some of these negative emotions or demons if they become that. Okay, but that's having somebody else do something for you. We want to really talk about what you can do for yourself, because we all,
although there's nothing wrong with getting help sometimes from other people,
absolutely,
but yes.
Absolutely right, but you spend most of your time with your own self. Mm-hmm. You may go for a treatment once or twice a week, spend an hour or two doing something or this or that, but then you have all these other hours. And so it's what to do with those that become a problem, especially if we're alone or we feel we're alone in the world. Okay. So to me, the most important thing is to get yourself into a state, physically in the dead center of yourself, and becoming aware of that and having that manifest. Now, this type of work is start here with what they call the jing. This is actually, it motivates this unaroused sexual energy. Unaroused sexual energy is actually cool, not hot, or actually cold. Eventually, this becomes warm. And then, as I said, it can spread throughout the whole body, course throughout all the meridians and even beyond, from the organs and the bone marrow all the way out to beyond the skin. Okay?
All right, I'm just going to jump in and ask a question before I get too far ahead of myself. I'm wondering if we can bring it back a little bit more to the practical, everyday, like a specific example. For example, let's say that somebody is really counting on getting this job. You know, they feel like this job, getting this job is so important for them that they can't stop thinking about it. And the chances, you know, there's a big chance they're not going to get this job. And if they can't get this job, it might mean big consequences for them. Like they might have to move or accept some other circumstance that they would rather not accept. So their mind is thinking and worrying and grinding about, you know, the attachment to getting this job.
That's the key word.
So
the key word is attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And the real key word is detachment. You're actually asking about an answer for this. And this is hard to do, but it can be done with discipline. And that is, you must detach from the outcome. If you're attached to the outcome too much, and it doesn't go your way, you're devastated and your whole world is upside down. But if you think, well, I was looking for a job when I found this one, you know, in other words, it's not the only thing in the world. If you are attached to something beyond a certain point, you actually create the reverse result of what you want. Too much wanting doesn't get you what you want. If that was the case, we'd all be billionaires or something like that. So the idea of desire and the idea of detachment. And that is the same thing, excuse me, that we were talking about in the body. The ability to detach our consciousness and focus it with our feeling awareness to feel and to eventually see inside the body, but at least to feel. And
when you say feel, you're talking about the energy in your body. You're talking about,
right,
as opposed to,
right, in other
feeling
words,
your attachment to all the stuff you want.
What we find with people that are in, that are very ill or have a stress, very stressed, is that there is congestion in the body. Everything feels like it's tight and contracted in this manner. And so what we're trying to do on a physical level is to create space in the body. You create space, because what I was telling you before, in the lower abdomen, warmth comes first, but later, and the warmth can be very hot because it can burn out blockages that you've had for years, but eventually the warmth will become the temperature of your own blood, and so you won't feel it like warmth at all. It'll just be a sensation. It becomes very, very comfortable. And beyond that, then what happens is this energy becomes ability to transform. Practicing long enough over the years, the Jing, the unaroused sexual energy, transformed to Qi. And this is activating the middle elixir field in the lower chest. Okay, and eventually that will transform. And the Jing is almost solid. It's the next best thing to having a physical touch. Almost, you can feel it almost like that, almost physical.
Uh-huh.
As you begin to feel the Qi, become much more subtle. And finally, that Qi energy will transform to Shen, or Shen, spirit energy. And this is very, very subtle and hard to sense.
And when you said that, you pointed to the...
I pointed to the upper elixir field, because that's where these things activate.
Behind the bone.
Now, eventually, there, in Taoism, there's a whole sequence of events that you do to create this effect. But you can create effect much easier than that, without so much mental anguish, by simply concentrating your attention and holding it there. Because one thing I learned from my teacher, Dr. Ku Wai Wan, the late Dr. Ku, it was that the body wants to heal itself. That's its innate desire. And oftentimes this healing just involves us getting out of our own way, which is not necessarily so easy to do, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting out of the way means to focus your attention with, in a certain sense, and this is hard to do without a lust for result. It is this lust for result which often creates the opposite in this world for us, and that could be with the job that you were talking about, or whatever. So instead, if we can take our attention and hold it in the lower abdominal region to start with, because this is going to help heal and strengthen the physical body, eventually, over time, this energy transforms of itself and begins to activate other things. Eventually, the energy will rise and get into the brain. One of my teachers once told me, he says, well, he said, you just get smarter.
Oh.
You know, it opens up more neurons in the brain and nerve pathways and the, all the subtle things that I don't know of the name of the chemical and alchemical names.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's the idea, is to be able to take your attention and to shift it, hold it within yourself, whether it be in the upper or in the lower or any of these places, and then in a sense just breathe. The idea here is that the mind is always wanting something to grasp onto, and the mind always has questions, but the questions of the mind can't always be answered from the mind. Because if the mind is asking about something beyond itself, then it has no capacity to really understand it or to even frame it, really. You can frame it, but then the conclusion must come from a place beyond the mind and be filtered through the mind back again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of stress management is to be able to take what's there, accept it, and not trying to sense fight it or do anything like that, and then to go within yourself and begin to take your attention away from these things, withdraw your attention, bring it into another place, but you have to give it someplace else to focus. So we've talked about these areas within the body, and there are others that you can focus in. And you allow yourself to breathe, you make the breath even. If you do this for a few minutes, you'll notice that your breath will slowly start to get longer, longer in, longer out. Now, another thing you can do with the breath, just as an aside, is that if you're feeling weak, you can inhale longer than you exhale. If you're feeling stressed and tight and congested, you will exhale longer than you inhale, and repeat that pattern. So a shorter inhale, longer exhale, a bunch of times, helps to kind of decompress literally the pressures in the body.
Okay.
Okay. And so
And when you say for a little while, we mean like 3 minutes, 5 minutes,
yeah,
20 minutes?
You have to do a few minutes. Most of these methods have to take a few minutes. Mm-hmm. When you get really good at it, then 3 to 5 minutes, that's probably all you need.
Okay.
To go on. But there are benefits for going to a longer practice. In the traditional way, you practice for an hour or 50 minutes or 40 minutes or a half an hour or 20 minutes. You practice for these longer periods in the standing. Because what happens when you do the standing exercise is the body will reach a certain capacity where it feels like it can't go on anymore because it's holding tension. And if you can get beyond that, and it takes a little bit of courage to do that and some stamina, what happens is the brain just kind of eventually sends a message and releases that tissue or that area of the body. And all of a sudden you feel as if there was a clenched fist somewhere in your body that just opened. But it might have been clenched for years. So when you know, when you're a little kid, you squeeze your hand real tight until the knuckle get white, you open it up and it doesn't work real good. This is like the muscles releasing from long, long-term stress. Okay. So the muscles are linked with the spleen, and the spleen energy is linked with meditation or contemplation. Okay. And the positive emotion of the spleen, and this is very important, is trust. Some people call open and fairness, but really it boils down to trust. What? Your trust of the universe, right? And that's what we're talking about here. There's ability to trust rather than to lust. Oh, I like that. That's a good phrase.
That's a good one. Trust rather than lust.
Right. We trust in that things will be taken care of because we've done everything that we need to do physically to do that. But we don't just lust over the desire or the need to have it be this way. When you can, it's odd because as you, with these practices, as you give up certain things, you gain other things. And as you give up this, you know, stranglehold grip on what you want, oftentimes you'll find you'll put your attention somewhere else and all of a sudden the phone will ring and there it is. It'll come to you out of the blue because you didn't try to hold it to you. They say that, you know, you can, you know, just like drop a stone in the pond. You can drop the stone in the pond and it goes out. It just could be like thoughts going out or desires or wishes or needs or whatever. But eventually the pond, which is the whole big planet, but it has an energy field, and that eventually that what you drop in there, if you keep doing it in the right way, will come back to you, you know, from the universe. It might come from left field or right field, someplace different, but it'll come to you. Okay? And so that's one way to approach this.
So if we catch ourselves really attached to an outcome or lusting over an outcome, we can maybe train ourselves to have this awareness to like, maybe I'd rather have trust rather than lust, and then we could delve into one of these breathing exercises.
Sure.
I think the point that I'm trying to make is like, how do we go from the thoughts grabbing us, I say grabbing us by the hair and taking us for a ride.
That's good.
To, you know, to having that awareness and saying, whoa, here's what's happening and here's what I want to do about it. Do you have any advice on?
Yeah. The first step and the most critical step is to realize it's happening. Because a lot of people don't. That's just life, and this is just how it is, or this is how this job is, or this is how these people are. They don't realize that it's being created inside themselves. So the first step is you already accomplished it. You realize something is not right. Okay? The next thing you're going to do is you're going to, let's say, we'll do this real simple together. You're going to just rest your hand, and you can have the left hand on top or the right hand on top, and you're going to place them over your navel area. And just let your shoulder relax, elbow relax, everything relax. You can do this sitting or laying down. If you sit, generally speaking, you want to keep your spine upright in this manner and have your feet flat on the floor, okay? So you must find a chair that is not too tall or too short. That being said, I'm going to lean back.
Okay.
So this is actually making a physical connection. So let's do that for a second. The way to make a physical connection in the body from top to bottom here is you press your feet gently in the ground or on the floor, and you'll feel your knees. Your hand can rest on your knees if you like. And just above the knee, you can feel your leg push back as if you're rolling back in the chair, but you're not actually moving. The bones aren't moving. The muscles are moving. And then finally, for most people, it's necessary to just raise your arm with the elbow bent above the head so you feel...
So my palms are almost facing up.
Facing upward, exactly. Okay. And you can feel the midriff stretch. Once you feel the midriff stretch, just lower your hand, and then you can place them in your lap or put them on a navel, like we talked about. When we put on a navel, we're building energy, okay? But energy can be built other ways, and other positions can be used. The most thing is to feel comfortable that it's relaxed. You want your neck and shoulders relaxed. Shoulder down, elbow down. But we don't want to collapse. We have to be very careful when we linking to keep the solar plexus open, because the solar plexus becomes a very, very important area because of all the nerve paths that pass through there.
Okay.
You know, they can make an operation on the brain without anesthetic because the brain have no nerves. But in the Chinese, sometimes they can do electroacupuncture also there in the solar plexus. And this is very amazing to Chinese doctors, to Western doctor, because they know how many nerves are there and how can the person be talking to the surgeon while the operation is happening. Okay, so we push our feet to the ground or the floor, feel our knees, push our knees back into our hips or our quad, the inguinal crease area, and then we stretch our torso up like we're trying to get out of the chair, but of course we can't do that. And then we just lower our arms while keeping our spine erect and placing our hand in a comfortable place. Okay? At that point, we become aware of where our hand is touching our belly or the clothes. And we begin to create a breath that emanates from there, that begins from there, as if the breath is beginning from the bottom of your body where you're sitting and rising up and filling up everything. In a physical level, you're actually reaching to the bottom of the lungs to start the breath, okay? But energetically and also in terms of the tissue, eventually everything will link. Sometime when you're standing a long time, then you can feel everything breathe, feet breathe, everything breathe with breath. Everything is expanding. Now, normally the physical part is the intercostal muscles of the lung and all that are stretching the ribs and doing this. But eventually, these muscles are connecting to the abdomen, and then eventually through the hips, and even all the way down to the feet and out to the hands. So we begin to create our breath from this area. They say take a deep breath, but in the West, a deep breath means go, too big. No, we want a long, slow, slender breath that reaches all the way to the bottom, to the perineal area, ideally. And the navel area. So when I inhale, I feel everything start to fill from the bottom up. And I'm going to regulate my breath, and we're going to breathe in and out however many seconds is good for you. So if you breathe in for 3 seconds, breathe out for 3 seconds, or 5 seconds, or 10 seconds, whatever is good for you. What you will do and what I will do won't be the same.
I understand.
So breathe that way. And just, let's say we're going to do 3 breaths that way only, but we want to count them. In and out, 1 breath. In and out, 2 breaths. In and out, 3 breaths. Let's try that.
Okay.
We're inhaling. We're exhaling. Inhaling all the way from the bottom. And exhaling. It goes from the top down, but it can also go from the bottom up again, but that's another story. Breathing in again, breathing out again. Now sometimes during these orchestrated breaths that we're doing, the body may want to do it a little different. It may want to breathe a little longer or breathe a little shorter. So you want to allow that to happen. Okay, you don't want to force this in that way. It's not forced. We want to encourage it rather than force it. So once we have this established, You can either, you, for a beginner, you'll just keep concentrate on the breath, in and out, even for as long as you can. And you'll notice after you do a few rounds of this that the thought patterns and the emotions begin to get lighter rather than heavy and oppressive. Okay. Now this will take some time, and the more stressed out you are, the more you'll take time with this rounds here of breath. So two or three times, if you're very, very stressed, is not going to help you much. You have to sit for some time and do this. But if you do take this upon yourself and do it and stay with it, say for 10, 15, even 20 minutes, you will notice at the end of that time that things feel different inside you.
And I was already beginning to lose track of where I was.
Right. Well, that's another thing that's going to happen, is that eventually, as you get comfortable with this, the breath itself is going to change. Okay? Now, don't forget, we have a third lung, which is the skin, too. So eventually, the pores of the skin will open as you inhale, and then they will close as you exhale. Like that, pushing stuff out. So, but the breath will eventually seem to disappear in a certain way. What I mean by this is that if we're counting in and out, 3 seconds in or 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, the more we do that, then all of a sudden you begin to feel around you just less pressure. And then we can begin at another level to let the body breathe however it wants at that point, because it's already doing it pretty correctly. And we just concentrate on the feeling, for instance, of the energy inside us, which is, like I say, will it start like a tiny little pinpoint where you don't feel it's very amorphous area. You won't know exactly where it is. You can measure it. You put your front hand on your navel, your back hand directly opposite it, and then you try to find your center. Now, here's the big key with that. Because we're so orientated to move forward, especially here in the West, the front of our body is much more in control than the back. So we tend to skew our awareness toward the front. So we find our center by feeling the front hand, then feeling the back hand, and going from the back hand into what we perceive is halfway between the back and front. And just holding our attention there, also halfway between the left side and the right side. Like I say, this is an amorphous area, and it will go through various stages, which are kind of too complicated right now to go into detail with in this type of talk, but because everybody is going to experience it differently, and we tailor these things for the person as they develop a certain way, you can take them further in that direction through certain methods where other people would use other things, okay? So you get this feeling of being very, very relaxed. And for me, then, you feel this thought start to slow down. Eventually, the thoughts, it's not like the thoughts won't go away per se. The mind is always active. But your feeling awareness and your attention can be so focused elsewhere that they appear to disappear, that they are not impinging upon you in any way anymore. And at that point, you're opening yourself up to spirit, you might say, and being open to this energy and letting it do you.
Wow, I love that.
Rather than you doing it. We have to set things up in a certain way for the optimal results, but then at a certain point we just have to let go and be within the experience. So as you were saying, Michelle, the breath, the breath started to change. Eventually you can breathe in and out at the same time. You can't force this to happen, but it will eventually happen. And this means the breath is feeling like it's suspend. You become not aware of the breath anymore. Once again, and this is what they call a pure neigung, which means inner work. And so you feel in qigong, you have, what is the difference between a qigong and neigung? People should know this. Qigong is focusing on these areas, but it is also focusing on the breath. You breathe in, you breathe out, like these movements. Neigung, purely with the mind and feeling. And the breath actually becomes a distraction. You don't want to think about the breath, because if you're thinking about the breath and feeling that, you're not feeling you're creating one-pointed focus, okay? When it comes down to that, it's coming to one-point focus, okay? And then, oddly enough, as your one-pointed focus becomes narrower and narrower, all of a sudden it becomes very, very big and wide, and you have the sensation of vast amount of space inside your body. In other words, your body feels really relaxed, but still alert, like that. We should talk about what relaxedness is, because this is the key to success in no matter what method you're using, how to relax and what is relax. Okay, so if we look at what can be tense, we know what we have to relax. The body can be tense, the emotional body can be tense, and the mind can be tense, very tense sometimes. So it's these areas that we need to relax. The breath has this linkage with the mind, and through that, the emotions as well. That by evening the breath out, breathing in, breathing out, the same amount, we find that our thought patterns change and slow down. It's almost like you want to become like a person sitting on the riverbank, and the thoughts are going by, but they're going by in these nice, you know, Egyptian barges, slow. Mm-hmm. And they go by you, and you just look, you watch them. Now, the thing of it is, sometimes people will want to reach out to these thoughts and bring them back in, well, and then you've kind of destroyed what you tried to do. But you want to be the observer and use this detachment to just be aware of them and feel them for that moment, but let them pass through you. It's like they're passing through you. They're not yours.
Okay, so you're aware of the thought that you're having, but you're just letting it pass in front of you.
Right.
So that does sort of separate you from being the thought or identifying too much with the thought.
Right. And then if you really want to ask a question, you ask, what is it that just did that? It's not your mind, it's not your emotion, it's not your body, it's not your unconscious. What is it? Okay. So what we will say, that's the essential part of ourselves, the essence of us. People call it by many names. But it's that part of you that can take control of this thing. Because like I say, if you use, with stress, if you use the mind to fight the mind, you just have a fight. Okay? So, but if you kind of don't resist, but don't give in, it's like I say, like Gandhi, they're not going to give agreement, but they're not going to fight it directly. Instead, you choose to take your attention and put it somewhere else. Now, what will happen at first is the mind will get really jealous, and it'll start pounding you with more thoughts because it wants that back. And so you've got to acknowledge that and then take your attention and once again reset it there. And this may happen many, many times during a session, that your mind will wander, so to speak, and you will have to return it to this feeling awareness, to this relaxed breath that reaches all the way to the bottom of the body. Okay?
That's an important heads up. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because that can happen. So we don't want to worry about that. And part of being able to have success with this is beginning to accept yourself right where you are, okay? You know, nobody's perfect, so nothing to worry about in a sense. In the Chinese, they might say the heaven is above, the earth is below, and the man or woman is in between. And they say the man or woman is the marriage of heaven and earth, okay? Even have a qigong called the marriage of heaven and earth that does this type of thing. But so we can make use of these forces. And these forces are actually coming into us through our feet in the earth and then from above. We can think of the heavenly energy also like gravity. It's like coming down all the time through us like that. And eventually we realize that if you look at acupuncture book or this or that, you see channels in the qigong. They have a big left channel that runs through your left side and your left leg, and the right side and the right leg, and the central channel running down through the center, roughly about, you know, good size like that. It starts small, but it maybe be the size from your chest to your back, just a little inside that. So big, like a big cylinder through your body, and it'll pass through all the way down. Eventually, you can feel. I could see this one time happen with one of my teachers. They were standing down here at the beach, well, at the park by the beach. And I looked over and I could see this big cylinder like from the top of his head, about the size of his head, all the way through his body. And then it comes out of the perineal area to what we call the earth point, which is a point equidistant between the feet.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was right there.
So another question I wanted to make sure that I got in is, with this kind of a practice, does it help change the frame of mind so that we find ourselves not so attached to things as much? In other words, does this practice help change the way we think not only about the certain circumstance, but future challenges and circumstances and things that come our way?
The simple answer is absolutely yes. And then the question becomes, how does it do this? It does this by actually, over time, changing your consciousness. And that was what attracted me at the very beginning about this, and what I found from other practitioners many, many years ago, you know, 40 years ago, that had been practicing for many years before that, was that to a man or a woman, everybody's consciousness changed. Everybody's consciousness changed over time. And I think because of this change, you become happier. But that's everything, that's what everybody wants. They want to be happy. They want to be happy. Whether that's love or that's this or that's that. They want to be happy. That's happiness comes. But then there's a different kind of happiness, right? In that bubbly, some of you get the good news, right? Ah, I just sold my script for, you know, $500,000. Great, I'm real excited. You know, you jump up and down. But that kind of happiness is transient. Just like most of the really negative things are transient too. Some bad thing can happen, and it happens. Sometimes only take a second or two to happen, but it can reverberate for years. With happiness, it's a little different. We want to have this sensation of happiness throughout our day, throughout every hour of the day as much as we can. So it doesn't, we can't go running around being bubbly all the time, although I guess some people do. But most of us don't. It takes too much energy to do that. And it's just not who we are. So re-ask your question again a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, if we start to use this practice, you know, that you've talked about, I'm wondering if it can, you know, change our consciousness so we are less often getting attached to these outcomes and, you know.
Right. Well, here's an answer for you. This is a little cryptic, but I think pretty easy to understand. Okay, the highest level of the martial art is nobody come into your life that you have to fight. You see? So this is telling you, when you evolve, because these practices start out sometime, you know, with a martial art background or something, but then they transform and transform again, just like we have the process of the various energies in our body transforming from the lower field of elixir to the middle to the upper and becoming more and more refined. And as we're more and more working in these other areas, certain things that maybe used to come into our life or certain people seem to disappear. They're just not there anymore. See?
That almost sounds magical.
Well, I guess it is, but it is not magic, because as you are able to, in a sense, get more energy into your brain on a physical level, blood, oxygen, everything like that, you also are able to create more neural patterns, you see. And one thing I liked always about playing the piano was that I realized that I was cutting all these really, really sensitive nerve paths into the brain besides the fingers and the subtle muscles there. And you notice that people that have a concert piano, they live very well and can play all the way into very old age. Mm. They don't tend to get these other things, because they've cut all these more neural pathways in their brain than the average person. And because what tend to happen, it's either you're the old thing, you either grow or die, right? You either are expanding and growing and creating. It's really creating. And now that there's the answer that really a lot of people need. They have to take a hold of this creative force within themselves and utilize it. Maybe this means learning to play the guitar, or learning to hula, or learning to just anything that you want. Maybe bingo. It doesn't matter. But you take these things that you like and you work with them in this manner. Okay? So, absolutely, as these practices continue over the years, and I can only say for myself, but also for the students and teachers, these transformations begin to occur of themselves. And this is why you know it's real, because you didn't try to create it. Come out, we can, and eventually you can have a very, very strong imagination. You can visualize and feel, and boy, you can create something inside yourself, pretty much anything. But when these circumstances, these experiences come without expectation, and they have this experience, and you go through it, and all of a sudden it's changed. And you go through what we would call quantum leaps or quantum adjustments that occur. And when these happen, it's really lovely, because you are working in a certain area and feeling a certain way, and then all of a sudden you'll get a glimpse of something that is even better, you might say, even more refined, even more subtle perhaps, and even more profound. And then that will kind of resonate, and you will have that experience, and you might not even be able to talk about it because it happens so much inside yourself. But then over the months, weeks and months, all of a sudden praises and words will come up, and you realize what has occurred. So this is the idea of this transformational process that we want to go through. And the way we do it is, in the old days, you had a very specific, you spend this amount of time doing this and this amount of time doing that, and over the years you go to this and that. But now, because of the way that the world is and the way that karma and everything is so sped up now, people can sometimes make these quantum leaps. We start out something, and all of a sudden you have something else that's beyond even what you thought it could be. Okay? So it's hard to talk about these things in specifics because they are so individual, the individual person. But the essence of them is the same. The essence of them is the same. You grow in happiness, in contentment. Because contentment, not just, oh, you know, how many material thing I have. Right? Because if those are taken away, you're not going to be content. You're going to be very unhappy. But real contentment comes from inside ourselves. And in a sense, like the greatest love of all, right? I could tell you a story about that song. The reason why I could say that, the greatest love of all, you can learn to love yourself, in a sense, is what the song is. Mm-hmm. But I went over to Michael Masser's house, the guy that wrote it, right? And he told me, he lived in this kind of fancy area in L.A. called Hancock Park. It's real old money, big. He told me, he said he spent 6 months with Whitney Houston to get a song right. They just little phrases here and there and little phrases. The guy was like a little guy, like a, kind of like with a Napoleonic complex. Oh. One of those, but he look what he produced. Yeah. You know, look what he produced, a really great song and all those type of things. But that's what, the point of that is just that most people really don't love themselves, or they love themselves in a way that is detrimental to themselves. So then you act, then you're getting down to the nubs, right? What is love? Yeah. Okay. We have human love. Okay. The touch, this and that, and emotion and chemistry and all that. But then there's more. It's like animals tend to love more unconditionally if they love. They don't have a condition on it. You got to do this, you got to do that. And then you look at the creation, and these plants and animals, plants and trees and all the environment. And then you're looking at this other thing. The word love doesn't really play into it in a certain way. We call it that, but it's a love on a different level than the human aspects that we tend to emphasize. And it's this utter feeling that can be with us 24/7, and that can enliven the body, invigorate the mind, uplift the mind, and assuage the emotions, and have the emotion of the joy and delight come much more. So everybody want happy, joy, and delight. You know, what else is there?
Yeah, I mean, the person that embodies that for me is Hafiz.
Yeah.
So, hey, how can people get in touch with you? And what else do you want anybody else to know before we wind this up? And then how can people get in touch with you? So, Mark, as our interview is about to close, do you have any words, final words for this discussion?
In this day and age, Somebody once told me the best advice was to get inside your spiritual center and stay there. Some people don't know what this means, maybe a lot of people. But the idea being to go within yourself, regulate your breath, either sitting or standing, allow things to change in your consciousness by relaxation. Everything that we achieve in this method, and this is an important final point, is done through relaxation. We in the West tend to want to focus on forcing things, no pain, no gain, okay? But it's actually the opposite for this, for changing consciousness. You do not want to have this quote-unquote pain. And pain means no gain. So you, in other words, you want to be able to put yourself into this neutral place and investigate the nature of relaxation. How can I relax more? There's always a way. And as you get into these deeper and deeper states, it triggers certain reactions in your body. And these reactions kind of take over. And at the end of the day, as you walk away from your practice, you have something that has begun to change or has already changed within yourself for the better. Okay? So the calmness, relaxation, regulation of the breath, in order to subdue the emotions and calm the mind, allows us to have a perspective, along with the idea of trusting in the universe, trusting in your own self. Notice I'm not saying a lot trusting in other people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you cannot. But even still, it really, trusting in the universe is being trust other people. And to give up the strong desire for the result, the lust for a result, trust rather than lust. And that's primarily the way that I go about it. And it seemed to work for me, and more I'm able to kind of, and I've had my challenges with my family and life in general, people's health and this and that, and you have to deal with this. But nevertheless, it's just an opportunity to grow stronger, to become, give more, have more compassion, more support and love, okay? Because when it come down to the final thing, it all based on that. Eventually, you can get to a part of yourself where the love that you can feel is, you can't even talk about it. Because it's not a physical thing. It is not that way. In a certain sense, it's impersonal, but it's completely personal because it's happening to you. And sometime when this happens, your whole body may shake. You may feel energy come out through your body, out the top of your head, and come down like a waterfall. A lot of things can occur. Or just the feeling of feeling better. Mm-hmm. Feeling a little more calm, a little more relaxed, a little more ready to meet whatever's out there. Mm-hmm. It takes courage, but it also takes relaxation. The more you can relax in these states of consciousness, the more you will realize that the problems that you had, if you get into the historical perspective, progress the planet 500 years, are going to be nothing. Most people, nobody going to know about them, probably. So you've got to put them in perspective. And this idea of contemplation and doing this type of work allows you to put these things in perspective. And when you put them in perspective, you have already achieved some detachment from them. And when you have that, you've given up this strong desire that actually pushes it away from you rather than brings it to you. And that brings me back to the final point of, well, we have a thought or a desire, we drop it like a stone in the pond. It goes to the edges of the pond and then eventually come back to the center, meaning come back to us. So when we want to create something, we focus strongly, we put it there in a gentle way, and then we must forget about it. Because if we start thinking about it again, we're dropping another pond, another stone in the pond, another stone, and we're creating all these cross ripples, and so then it doesn't come back to us the way we want. Okay? Okay. And so you wanted me to mention, if people want to hear the music that I do...
I'd like to mention that you are an incredible musician, and people need to hear your music, so yes.
Well, when they say that, okay, so I studied, my piano teacher was Solima Stravinsky, the son of the composer Igor Stravinsky. Okay, I played with Sarah Vaughan, Trini Lopez, Chuck Berry, Leon Russell, and Jermaine Jackson, and others, and have conducted the LA Philharmonic Strings and the Houston Symphonies in my own works. Okay, so this is kind of, you might would say, these ones are kind of like smooth jazz, kind of nice, easy listening, instrumental. www.reverbnation, that's Reverb Nation, /Mark, M-A-R-K, S, Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. That's for the music. And for the training of standing meditation and the like, is insidejohnzhuang.com. I spell it for you. Well, inside, you know what it is, I-N-S-I-D-E. And then, this is all one word, then Z-H-A-N, then the next word, Z-H-U-A-N-G, all put together as one long word. Or even in the Google search, you can just put inside John Zhuang like that as separate words, and you will get the website. And if you scroll to the bottom, you will find a bunch of videos linked to YouTube that will go over this process in great detail. Okay, and those are all free. And there's also a free download of guided music there on the video as well on my website there, where you can listen to and then eventually download both a guided practice for this standing exercise with and without narration. So there I even narrate to relax this part, relax that part. It's useful for people. Okay, so reverbnation.com /Mark S. Cohen and insidejohnzhuang.com. Okay, that's how you can get a hold of me. Okay, and there's the emails and ways to access in both of those sites.
Terrific. Well, mahalo for this wonderful interview. I really learned a lot. I really appreciate this.
My pleasure.